Davy Crockett told him back east, "You may all go to hell, and I will go to Texas." Here's a guy that thinks Davy got it right. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without that old corporate management muzzle, especially no out-of-state New York State corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, my friends, brought to you by Allied Compliance Services. If you're hiring, check for safety with drug testing. Get with Allied Compliance Services, alliedcompliance.com. That Lone Star story of the day is Texas to build a border wall. Now, we covered this yesterday in part, but don't think it'll happen easily. The feds are going to work to stop it at every turn, and they've got a lot of the power, if not most of it. And so will some Texas border Democrat elected officials. And then again, we have to question our own government's governor's true commitment to it, despite the blustering. There's nothing changed since the legislative session. He didn't add this to his emergency items. They let bills on the exact subject die in the session. So is it a political stunt or are they truly committed? Well, it's one of those things. Time will tell. And with politics, your pressure can turn what's a shallow stunt into the real deal, and that's what's happened all along. So we'll see how that goes. We'll talk about that in depth today. Key court rulings from the U.S. Supreme Court and the Texas Supreme Courts. We'll get to those. Not all good, not all bad. Texas' unique Juneteenth holiday, and it truly is a Texas unique holiday, has now been made a national federal holiday by the Congress. And you know, I guess some people think that's good. I think I agree with Chip Roy. It's not named properly, but we'll cover that. And bill signings. The governor is doing a big event at the Alamo today, did an event with bill signings, most of the gun bills, and then somehow went ahead and signed the permitless carry yesterday and let that be known. I'm not somebody emailed me and said, how come you don't cover the bill signing? Because it's not news. It's not when I'm jam-packed full of stuff. What's newsworthy about that? Well, he signed it. Okay, wake up and get a Texas lesson here. One, the news was that it passed the legislature. Two, the news was before it passed, the governor said he would sign it. So it's not a particularly big newsworthy thing that he signed it. Yeah, these are big photo ops for the people that push the bills. But in Texas, listen up. Bills don't require the governor's signature to become law. I think, Friday or Saturday's the deadline? If he doesn't sign a bill, it becomes law. The only big news out of the governor's office is when he vetoes a bill. Just pointing that out so you understand and aren't sucked into all the false drama they use as photo ops. Now, I want you to remember you can listen to this show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Load up several shows. Listen to them for that road trip. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. And don't forget, we need you to let our local radio affiliate advertisers know that you're listening. This is absolutely critical to keeping this show on the air. It has been tough to rebuild. We're not where we need to be yet. But thanks to you and so many generous people, we're getting there. Let those advertisers know on our local affiliates that you're hearing from them. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan, a great day. And we're going to have a fantastic day on Wednesday, the 30th of June, the day Trump's with Abbott getting all the photo ops during the border. We're going to be in Abilene at the Denton Valley Farms. And it's Standing Strong, a celebration of liberty, put on by Q Country 96.1 FM, our Abilene Big Country affiliate, in Denton County Farms, at Bell's Chicken Dinner House, the boys there, they're going to cater it, and all that. There'll be music. It's going to be a big thing. Patriotic thing, you know, near July 4th. We're just right before the July 4th week, and going to have a great time with it. Standing Strong, a celebration of liberty. I want you to be there. If you can afford a ticket, get it. We just priced this at cost. So go to the link there at PrattOnTexas.com or the Q Country website and get the tickets through that Eventbrite service. You do have to be ticketed. So we do want you to get there and get that done because they've got to have all the numbers in. They'll have to turn that off at some point. And I want to see you there. I've already heard from a bunch of folks said they're going to see us there. Today in Texas history, my friends, a mounted ranger company with the Revolutionary Army captured two Mexican ships, the Comanche and Fanny Butler. I told you about this the other day. Yeah, they got one that and then did it again twice. Those are the guys that, and then they captured the Watchman back on June 3rd, and we talked about it then. That's where they got the famous name Horse Marines, ladies and gentlemen. Horse Marines. That's right. Wow, from the shore captured Mexican ships. Woo! And Manuel Garcia was born this day in 1872. His Manuel Garcia. He was the first, well, they called it in the old parlance, Mexican-American, because he was of Mexican heritage and American. But I think now we would say Hispanic or something like that, Latino. Or if you're a liberal, Latinx, which isn't even a word. Manuel Garcia was born on this date in 1872. He was the first Latino to graduate from the University of Texas way back in 1894. Also in 1899, this is when the Brazos flood began, over 11 days. 1899, before any greenhouse gases from the industrialization of any appreciable amount, no gasoline burning, SUVs running around, an 11-day flood, at least, and we didn't have good communications everywhere, but at minimum, 284 people were killed, far more than the winter freeze or any of these other things they talk about. Almost 9 inches of rain fell, and it just disastrously glutted the Brazos River shed all through Texas. So don't believe these people tell you, oh, this stuff's new. Oh, it's all man-made climate change, extreme weather. 11 days of rain, 1899, began today. Killed almost 300 people, maybe more. Also, this is the day of 1965 when, well, Texas began in Palo Duro Canyon. They started another one first called Thundering Sounds of the West. That became Texas. Yeehaw! We like that. Texas history sponsored by USA Investigations. Professional surveillance, witness interviews, and statements, background checks, you name it, they'll do it. They're licensed investigators. Investigate for more at USAinvestigations.net. Remember that .net part on their name. There are a few headlines from around the Lone Star State I want to get to before we dive into all the political news and analysis. How about this? I love the headline alone from the Extra Stupid Criminal File, KWTX reporting out of Waco. Man pulled over for driving erratically at Area Lake, handed his beer to a game warden. You don't need the whole story, but I love this quote from the game wardens. During the traffic stop, the wardens noticed the driver was unable to turn down the music on his radio. When asked what he was doing, the driver said, "I was just trying to..." Then he picked up his beer and handed it to the wardens. His speech was slurred and he was unable to keep his balance as he got out of the truck, making the obvious field sobriety test quite easy. What an idiot. And this is interesting about another, you know, one of these criminal people. We had this shooting in Houston on Easter Sunday outside of a restaurant. I think shot a guy right in front of his sister or girlfriend's. I don't remember all the details. But we learned today from KHOU that the case in which a 3-year-old child accidentally shot himself with his father's gun led to the arrest of the suspect wanted in the Easter Sunday shooting. Why? Well, when this accidental shooting happened, they were able to test the gun, found out it was the same gun used in the shooting. That's right, which happened 4 days later. The shooting happened, I think, 4 days after the accidental shooting, or I guess before, I can't remember. But anyway, that's interesting. Again, not some just regular guy with the gun lying around not taking care of it. You got criminal elements here. And Houston's legendary Firehouse Saloon, the legendary honky-tonk that closed during the COVID time and were hopefully going to reopen, caught fire and burned overnight. A total loss. The loss of the Firehouse Saloon, not aptly named. More news and commentary of Texas in a moment on Pratt on Texas. Be sure and go get your tickets to the big event in Abilene coming up June 30th. You'll find the link at prattontexas.com. Back in a moment.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment. Our quest for liberty spans the ages, and in America's Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, the people were finally made sovereign. Many recognized it as the greatest achievement for liberty in all of history. But history repeats. Now, our liberty is under serious threat. Join us Wednesday, June 30th from 6 to 9 at Denton Valley Farms for Standing Strong, a celebration of liberty, an evening of inspiration and hope for our country and conservative values. Robert Pratt, host of Pratt on Texas, conservative speaker and writer, will be our featured speaker, challenging you to be involved and giving you hope through action. This one-night-only patriotic event includes music, dinner from Bell's Chicken Dinner House, and more. Get information now, including tickets at QCountryRadio.com. June 30th, one night only. Learn more at QCountryRadio.com.
No 30-06 or 30-07 signs here. Nope. Pratt on Texas welcomes true Texans with the tools that won and keep our liberty.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, the governor's got a photo op event for all the legislators that sponsored these bills and everything. He's signing all the Second Amendment-related bills at the Alamo today. And the bills that he signed yesterday, again, the permitless carry, HB 1927, it was supposed to be part of the show today. I don't know why he went ahead maybe to, I don't know. It's kind of odd why they let that out yesterday. Going to sign HB 2622, Second Amendment Sanctuary State, done by Representative Holland. HB 1927, Permitless Carry by Schaefer, our good friend Matt Schaefer of Tyler. And again, we'll do the ceremonial signing today at the Alamo, or did it, I guess. HB 1500, Second Amendment Protections During Disasters, States of Emergencies by Hefner. HB 957, the Suppressor Law for In-State Suppressors by Oliverson. SB 18, Second Amendment Protections During Disasters, States of Emergencies by Senator Creighton. SB 19, Second Amendment Anti-Discrimination. The state can no longer do business with private businesses who discriminate against the gun industry. That's a great bill by Senator Schwertner. SB 20, the hotel bill, requires hotels to allow you to carry, in other words, to transport your concealed weapon directly to your room, to your car, by Senator Campbell. And SB 550, the license to carry holster bill, allows those who wish to carry openly to choose the holster that suits them best, as opposed to the current law, which required either a shoulder holster or a belt holster. That from our friend, Senator Drew Springer of Munster. So those bill signings going on. And when it comes to Second Amendment protection of the state, there's a showdown over this. Missouri got to this first. And Missouri has a supermajority. The Republicans do in the House and Senate. But they didn't just pass this thing quickly, this Second Amendment sanctuary stuff. It's called the Second Amendment Preservation Act. It took, I think, 7 or 8 years of activism, which is normal. Usually in Texas, takes 3 sessions to pass a big bill. That's 6 years. And the governor signed it. Governor Parson in Missouri signed it on June 12th. It wasn't an easy feat. 8 years of effort, almost 8 years of efforts from grassroots activists. Remember, they passed it before, and Governor Jay Nixon vetoed a version of it. Now, what is this SAPA, Second Amendment Protection Act? And the reason I'm bringing up out of Missouri is we've just passed something not quite as detailed, but because the feds are going to fight back. It read state the right in a nutshell. It's a law that prohibits the enforcement of federal provisions that infringe on the right to keep and bear arms. Includes a detailed definition in Missouri of actions that qualify as infringement, including taxes and fees on firearm accessories, all kinds of stuff, registration and tracking schemes, any act forbidding the possession, ownership, or use of a transfer of a firearm, any act ordering confiscation of firearms. You can get to look this up if you want. It's Missouri law. Defines a law-abiding citizen as a person who's not otherwise precluded under state law from possessing a firearm. Okay, great win. Well, the Biden Justice Department's already come out pointing out that, you know, reassuring us all that they're nothing but a political body. They're warning Missouri officials the state can't ignore federal law after the governor signed the bill there. And they said the U.S. Supreme Court, U.S. Constitution's supremacy clause outweighs the state laws. Because the new rules, by the way, penalize local police departments if their officers enforce federal gun laws. The problem with that is that local officers are not enforcers of federal law. It's a jurisdictional issue. The parallel to sanctuary, this is the best part of this piece at Red State, the parallel to sanctuary cities in the immigration context is hard to escape. I suspect intentionally so. Yes, that's why we started calling it sanctuary for life, sanctuary for the Second Amendment, that kind of thing. A similar comparison could be made to states who have opted to legalize marijuana. You realize that's completely against federal law. You still get arrested, your feds arrest you, you're going to go to court, and you're going to probably may go to jail. The writer said in that context, the feds have recently declared enforcement of federal prohibition against marijuana is no longer a priority. It's almost as if the Department of Justice has a political agenda, question mark, exclamation. So beware, they're going to fight back on this stuff. And again, the governor did his big, I didn't even watch it, his big deal at the Alamo today for Second Amendment firearms laws. I'm glad he's signing them. Again, in Texas, they become law without the governor's signature. The real thing is, does the governor veto it or not? So good deal. We expected all these to be signed. Now let's move on to other matters, including U.S. Supreme Court and state Supreme Court rulings, my friends. The U.S. Supreme Court has dismissed our third challenge to Obamacare, 7-2 vote. That's right. The AP reporting this, today that they left the entire law intact, ruling that Texas and other Republican-led states and two individuals had no right to bring their lawsuit in a federal court. What this was another one of these smarmy, weaselly cop-outs. After it got all the way to the Supreme Court, they simply did not rule on the constitutionality of Obamacare. They simply decided that, well, Texas and these people don't have standing to sue. No kidding. By the way, after telling you in the Associated Propagandist piece that runs all over the country that what they ruled, they then, instead of detailing the ruling to you, they immediately wrote propaganda about how great Obamacare is and their leftist ill-functioning minds. And I estimate more than 50% of the big story that'll run everywhere is nothing more than pro-Obamacare propaganda instead of covering the merits of the case. Because they didn't actually rule on the law, they just ruled on standing. They dismissed the challenge on standing. It left in place the law's requirement that people have health insurance or pay a penalty, although that's now toothless because Congress got rid of the penalty, moved the penalty to zero in the tax law under Trump, and that elimination of the penalty was the real hook that Texas on this new challenge had taken and used with other states in challenging it. To attack the whole law, they argued that without the mandate, a pillar of the law, when it was passed in 2010, the rest of the law should fall too. They're right on that. Trump's three appointees, split, Barrett and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh and Barrett joined the majority dismissing the case on standing issue. Gorsuch was in defense, signed on an opinion by Justice Alito, pointed out that the majority opinion said that Texas and the other plaintiffs failed to show they have standing to attack as unconstitutional the Act's minimum essential coverage provision. In a dissent, and this is so exactly right, by Justice Alito, he wrote, "Today's decision is the third installment in our epic Affordable Care Act trilogy, and it follows the same pattern as installments 1 and 2. In all three episodes, with the Affordable Care Act facing a serious threat, the court has pulled off an improbable rescue because it dismissed the case for the plaintiff's lack of legal standing, the ability to sue. The court didn't actually rule on whether the individual mandate is unconstitutional now that there's no penalty for foregoing insurance." So there you have it, once again, showing some of their true colors. And, my friends, the Supreme Court also, in a good ruling, said that Philadelphia was wrong in limiting ties with a Catholic agency, you know, like adoption agencies and stuff like that, because that agency, being church-based, refused to work with homosexual couples. And that was a good ruling, preserving religious freedom. Now, there's a big ruling in the Texas Supreme Court involving this case out of the Lubbock Roman Catholic Diocese. And what happened was they published the list they published the name of a deacon who's still a deacon. He's not being laicized. He hasn't had that taken away, but he's not serving. They published his name on a list of people for sex, credible, I forget how they called it, but credible accusations of sexual misconduct. And the first list made it look like he'd messed with children. Then they clarified that, and it was a, quote, vulnerable adult. But under Catholic, under the church law, that any person is a minor who is not competent. And the Texas Supreme Court ruled for the Catholic diocese and against the claim of the deacon. And I'm of two minds on this case. I think this is in one sense, it was a good ruling for their reasons. And in another, it's very problematic. Back in a moment.
During the break, log on to PrattOnTexas.com.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
It's the real talk of Texas with the authentic accent thrown in free. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Congress passed the law sponsored by Cornyn in the Senate, and was it Eddie Bernice Johnson or whatever in the House? Yeah, no, Jackson, Sheila Jackson Lee of Houston, and makes it Juneteenth, which was uniquely Texan, where blacks learned of their freedom way after the Emancipation Proclamation, learned it in Galveston, and they voted to make the 11th of June Juneteenth national holiday. A couple of Republicans voted against it, Chip Roy of San Antonio and Ronnie Jackson of Amarillo, and for good reason, because it's called Juneteenth National Independence Day, and they said, come on, that conflicts with Independence Day. It's not, nobody had a secondary Independence Day, and Roy thought we ought to call it Jubilee Day or Emancipation Day or Freedom Day. I agree with him on that. So they cast dissenting votes, and I'm sure they'll be beating up his races for that, but they had a good reason. Cornyn and Jackson Lee said they plan to celebrate in Galveston on Saturday. The Fed, I talked about inflation yesterday. We posted that great interview, special long-form interview as a podcast at PrattOnTexas.com with Dr. Merrill Matthews, talking a lot about inflation. If you hadn't heard it, go listen. And the Fed has been meeting, and indeed, they moved up their timeline for rate hikes and inflation rises. Federal Reserve, according to CNBC's Jeff Cox, considerably raised expectations for inflation this year and brought forward the time frame on which the next raise of interest rates will come. However, the central bank gave no indication as to when it'll begin cutting back on its aggressive bond buying program, though Fed Chairman Powell acknowledged the officials discussed the issue at the meeting. As expected, policymaking Federal Open Market Committee unanimously left its benchmark short-term borrowing rate anchored near zero. And that's what we were talking about yesterday with Merrill Matthews. James McCann, a deputy chief economist at Aberdeen Standard Investment, said this isn't what the market expected. The Fed is now signaling that rates will need to rise sooner and faster, with their forecast suggesting two hikes in 2023. This change in stance jars a little with the Fed's recent claims that the recent spike in inflation is temporary. Read all this stuff. They all, even Powell, they make all these predictions, but in their actions and in everything they're doing, prove that their predictions really don't have much predictive ability. They raised the GDP expectations for this year to 7% from 6.5% and left the unemployment estimate about 4.5%, about where they had it before. So like Powell said, the Fed's dual employment and inflation goals, this was all happening somewhat faster than anticipated. In other words, their predictions aren't very good. Here is a little bit about what Merrill Matthews said in that interview about the Fed's actions.
The two things that really concern us right now, I think, is the amount of money the Fed has created in doing all this quantitative easing. The Fed's starting to meet today. It'll meet today and tomorrow, and then we'll see what happens. But the stock market gets very nervous at this time, because even if the Fed says we're going to start, we're starting to begin thinking by next year, we'll begin thinking about how we may try to unwind all this money in 2 years out or 3 years out. And it just sends the market into a tizzy. Because the market really likes this cheap money out there that pulls money off of other things and puts it in the market and pushes up market prices.
Just go to PrattOnTexas.com or our podcast page. You can listen to that entire interview with Dr. Matthews about inflation and about the government paying people not to work and how much that's hurting us out there in the marketplace. Now, my friends, it's time to get into this big, big story, our Lone Star story of the day on all this border stuff and the governor's big press thing yesterday, where he talked a little bit more about his idea of building border barriers and then maybe even an entire wall. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995. They do great work. I know so many of the customers have told me. Are you hiring? Check for safety with drug testing. AlliedCompliance.com. Well, let's start this story. I brought you some comments from the governor's presser in yesterday's show. Again, if you missed it, you can go hear the podcast. And told you everything that he said in the press conference. One thing I didn't spend much time on, we'll get into more of that now, but that's the money, the $250 million down payment. But Florida's governor, who right now is the standout conservative in the country, and I'm a big Ted Cruz backer, but if there were a primary for president right now, even with Ted Cruz in it, I'd be out working for Ron DeSantis. He is the real deal. In every sense, DeSantis sending Florida officers to respond to border crisis in Texas and Arizona, Washington Examiner says they are going to send to assist state, federal, local police on the border crisis. We are the first state to commit support for this effort in response to the request that was submitted by the governors of Texas and Arizona, and we're proud to lead yet again on issues that matter to Floridians, said Republican Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday afternoon. Now, why did Abbott just highlight other states? In Oklahoma and Arkansas in his presser, because he knows DeSantis is his big, probably right now, I mean, 6 weeks is an eternity in politics. It could be all different people by that next presidential cycle, but he'll compliment him, but he didn't go out of the way on this because he knows DeSantis is a political rival for the Republican nomination for president. You have a governor who is saying we'll step up to protect Floridians. This is what real leadership looks like. Leadership's not sending someone down there to beg people not to come, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody said at the press conference, referring to Kamala Harris's previous statements, telling migrants, well, don't travel. When you have chaos versus order, crime versus safety, you develop strategic enforcement actions and you bring peace and protection to your people. That's what a leader does, said Attorney General Moody in Florida. DeSantis said a northern region of Florida has been hit hard by methamphetamine. It's gotten worse in the past 6 months due to Biden administration's rescinding of the Trump-era border policies. He said if you go back 10 or 20 years ago, you find these places where they'd be cooking the stuff up locally. That's not what's happening now. It's almost all coming across the southern border, and it's been accelerating for the last 6 months, and it's steepening the problems that we're having in terms of getting a handle on this in our own communities here in the state of Florida. So DeSantis standing up quick, going to send police and things to help in Texas and Arizona. Good for Ron DeSantis, the great conservative, real deal conservative, true believer and understander of conservatism, governor of the state of Florida. Texas governor demands Biden return land seized by feds for border wall. Well, I played that soundbite for you yesterday. I don't see any reason to play it again. Bob Price writing it up at Breitbart, pointing out Abbott sent a letter to President Biden yesterday demanding the return of border property seized by the federal government for building a wall. Federal government used condemnation powers to take property from Texans for the purpose of building a border wall. Once you took office, however, your administration made clear the federal government will not move forward with building the border wall at this time. Texas will build a border wall in our state, Governor Abbott declared yesterday. We care about our fellow Texans and their safety. We will look first at using state property and donated private land. We will also visit with Texans whose land was taken by the feds to determine if they'll allow the state of Texas to build a wall on their land, end quote. What he's saying is, you took a bunch of land for the border wall, and remember, Congress authorized the wall for all these liberals that think Trump did that. They'd done it way back in the years ago. I mean, this, we've had in Obama's time, Bush's time, whatever, all the way through Trump. And now they're not building it. Well, they ought to give us the land that they seized so we can do it here. But you, this is the point. It's not going to be easy. They're going to fight you at every step of the way. They're not going to give the money, the land over to us. I don't think there's any chance of that. Governor yesterday with the big financial leaders said he's got a $250 million down payment on this project transferred from funds appropriated for criminal justice for the prison system, basically. Senator Jane Nelson was there. She added that the Legislative Budget Board has the authority under Article 9, Section 14.04 to make the transfer during a disaster declaration at the request of county judges along the border. And Governor Abbott made that declaration earlier this month. So they got a little down payment that they pulled right out of the prison budgets. Back in a moment.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Here's a man who is proud of Texas and Texans. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back. Back to the big border issue. As I told you yesterday, the governor announced the big website, borderwall.texas.gov. You can go there to see all the state's good propaganda on this. Lieutenant Governor and Speaker all speaking in favor of it. And he said the program's officially funded now with that quarter of a billion dollar down payment. They're starting the process trying to find project managers and do all the costing and all of that kind of stuff. There was a lot of interest. You think this stuff, it's like getting the land back. It's you can't just go do it. It's going to be very tough. I think the old not conservative at all, Robert Garrett at the Dallas Morning News had a really good quick take column. As wall governor, Abbott chooses years of headaches and chance that the gambit might help him in 2022. No, I think it is about 2022. I think it's about afterwards and running for president. And for that reason, I think he'll have to see all of this through. And he points out, though, in the piece, for starters, Abbott and other GOP leaders raided the prison system's budget for $250 million. It's a small slice of nearly $7 billion. Remember, all our budgets are 2 years long. He said the move, he speculates Abbott's big move on the wall is low reward because he's unlikely to reap a huge political dividend. And he was, and then when they the reporters, and this is Abbott, Abbott does not like any unplanned tough questions. Abbott does bristles at any kind of criticism, folks. I mean, look, that's the way he is, and that's why I don't. You know, he's a good leader in a lot of ways. We could have done a lot worse. He's been a pretty good governor, but he's not the kind of leader he needs to be. Asked Wednesday if Texans who are worried about this week's request that they conserve electricity as well as other issues would view his border wall announcement as political theater, Abbott grew testy. Then he gave a rambling answer. It doesn't answer anything. And this is the problem with Abbott. He doesn't want... It's one thing to not like the questions. It's another to not be able to handle them. And that's another reason I don't think Abbott is anywhere near presidential material. He may believe a lot of the right stuff and be willing to do it, but he and his staff, they just go nuts. And I know from the inside, folks. Well, you ask him hard questions. Oh, well, that's my job. What do you agree to an interview for? Were they unfair? Were they inaccurate? No, but the governor doesn't like it. Okay, fine. Freeze me out. I don't care. What happens is over time, more, I don't care about having guests anyway. Over time, more and more people start to notice this. He wasn't ready. The papers were full of headlines over this yesterday and how people were like, wait a minute, he just said that everything's been fixed. And he did say that. He didn't say they passed legislation that will fix. He said everything with the grid's been fixed. And the same week, everybody's worried. You know, now everybody's extra worried, even though they have these things all the time. Apparently, it's that nuclear plant at Glenrose that is down that really caught us off guard in this, from what I saw. But anyway, he wasn't prepared with a good answer for that. I mean, come on, Abbott. Are you presidential material or not? Huffines made the border wall his top issue when he announced he'd run against Abbott. And he's out, you know, taking credit for Abbott's significant shift in tone. And I told you before this shift in tone happened that this is why you want good, real competitive primaries. It pushes your people who weren't really that strong to go conservative in a Republican primary. In the Democrat primary, it pushes them all left. Now, is it going to be easy? I don't know. There was a good piece in the scorecard after legislature leaves. Abbott announces plan for Texas border wall. Points out, he didn't make this an emergency deal then, and we had a bunch of legislation that could have passed that just died in the House. Representative Slayton, who was there at the little people, I think, or the show press conference, said he had a problem with the governor's unilateral approach. I'm happy with the governor acting, but I have questions. If he could have done this unilaterally, why didn't he do it years ago? That's what Huffines is saying, too, and he's right. He said, I think the legislature should be the one making these decisions. Yes, because they're the ones who should appropriate the money and adopt that kind of policy. But interesting. Now, the big story that I wanted to share parts of with you is out of the Rio Grande Guardian. Abbott intimated that the county judges all came to him with this disaster. And that's why he took their request all up down there in the Rio Grande Valley and along the border, and that they were all on board and they wanted the big statewide disaster. Well, very interesting piece in the Rio Grande Guardian by Steve Taylor. The four county judges in the Rio Grande Valley are strategizing ways to oppose Governor Abbott's plans to build a new border wall and arrest undocumented immigrants, it means illegal aliens, that cross that wall. Starr County Judge Eloy Vera said he's in discussions with his counterparts in the Valley, Hidalgo County Judge Richard Cortez, Cameron County Judge Eddie Trevino Jr., and Willacy County Judge Keeter Guerra. Vera told The Guardian he did not go to Governor Abbott's much-publicized border security summit in Del Rio. Said some of Vera's concerns about Abbott's immigration and border security plans revolve around legality. I'm not a lawyer, but I hear from lawyers that say that immigration law belongs to the feds and not the state. The wall or fence that Abbott wants to build, my understanding is, he wants to build it so he can charge illegal aliens. I'm changing the words. He uses his politically correct crap. With trespassing, if there is no fence, there's no trespassing, Vera said. Again, this information I've received, the problem with that, and now he is threatening that if we don't enforce it, he's going to go choke our state funding. I have an issue with that. Vera fears Starr County will take financial hit if it has to detain these illegal aliens that have been arrested for trespass. And that's a serious issue. Now, the governor says, you know, he's going to get the Commission on Jail Standards to go put more people in there. He said, we only have 270 beds. He says, we already have problems. And they talk about this in detail. If they open the capacity up temporarily to 500 to 600, I guess they can do it. But what does it do to us? We got to feed them. We got to house them. We got to keep them safe. He said, we have fights in the jails. Jail's a serious place. How do we do all this? Have them sleeping in the floors? He said he agreed with Judge Cortez in Hidalgo County about the need for more answers from the governor. Ask if illegal aliens crossing the Rio Grande into Starr County are causing any aggravation. This stupid county judge, Vera, said no. Well, that's crazy. Ask your people. I agree with Judge Cortez. I don't feel it's a disaster. Do we have a problem? Yes, we have a problem. But we have problems every day, but not a disaster. Well, Abbott intimated all the county judges were on board with this disaster thing. And these are the big counties, by the way. Rio Grande Guardian asked Vera what he thought about the idea proposed by public policy analyst Ron Whitlock that the border wall be built north of the valley in the ranch lands. Whitlock said that's where the noisiest complaints about the crossings are coming from ranchers. Vera came up with a different solution, and this is typical of the left. It's ifs and buts. You know, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. I think a more effective answer of this all would be if Mexico would enforce their southern border. Yeah, but see, Judge, we don't control Mexico. We control us. It's like griping about the neighbor that won't mow his yard. You can do all the influencing you want, do everything you can, but if he still won't do it, you're still in charge of your own. And that's where you have to start with the Roundup and the mowing. Or the DR trimmer, if it's bad enough, my neighbor. Asked if he had provided his analysis to the Abbott's office, he said, Judge Cortez and Keeter from Willacy and myself, Eddie from Cameron, have not spoken to him because he's been in, that judge's been in trial, but we're buying time. We're not answering anything. We're not signing anything till we get answers. We want to go in as a unified front. I do not have the resources to fight the governor, but Hidalgo and Cameron County do, and I'll join with them in that. He says, a perennial problem for Starr County is it's heavily militarized. Local residents often complain about the large number of DPS troopers parked on Highway 83. Asked about this, Judge Vera said, we lost 65% of our DPS. They moved them up to Del Rio because that's where Abbott is a hero. Here, we don't want them. We don't want them. They don't want them over there. First of all, how is civilian police being militarized? I don't understand. That's stupidity. Secondly, I've told you this over and over, and I reported on it several years back. This is the attitude amongst Democrats, a lot of Democrats, particularly the politicians. Oh, having law and order, there's militarizing the border. First of all, the military militarizes. The police are civilians in this country, and that's not militarizing anything. I'm just pointing out, this isn't going to be so easy. You know, and that's why it worries me that it's all a puff up the chest political thing, and everybody goes, hoo-ha, rah-rah, because, you know, they saw the headlines, Texas is going to build a wall. You wait and see. And we'll see what happens. I hope it does get done, but it'll only happen with our public pressure. Long live liberty, my friends. Long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.